No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
The Chicago Bulls sent shockwaves through the fan base yesterday in drafting Noah Essanay yesterday at the number 12 pick, leaving many to question what the Chicago Bulls are doing with leaving so many talented centers on the draft. Mark Eversley comments after the draft further frustrated Bulls fans. So we're going to talk about all that, plus dive a little bit into the mailbag and look at the players that are best left on the board still in round two. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go to get into this content for today, y'all. And how y'all feeling? We're you know, a few hours removed from the NBA draft, not a full 24 hours yet, about 12 hours when it's all said and done. And the Chicago Bulls drafted Noah Essanay at number 12, a versatile forward who is very raw prospect. And that has been what's triggered many Bulls fans, is the fact that there were some more proven commodities there, at number 12 at a position of need. And like Derek Queen, Thomas Sorber was still on the board, things like that. A player like Cedric Howard was drafted right before the Chicago Bulls. Kamon Malawak was drafted two picks before the Bulls, but the Bulls took Noah. And they are now betting themselves on the ability to develop Noah Essanay as well as a player that has a lot of defensive versatility. I think that's the first thing that you're looking at, is the defensive versatility with him. He does have some offensive upside for sure as well. He's going to have to work on getting confident in that shot, but in transition as well. What he brings in transition, shot blocking wise on the defensive side, and in offense, being able to move within space really well, really athletic player when it comes down to it as well. But the Bulls take another young upside player, and I made the comparison that it felt like. And again, I'm not, and I want to be clear here, and nothing that I'm saying is against the prospect in Noah Essanay. I actually think that Noah is a pretty solid prospect. I want to make no mistake about it. I think that he is, when you look at him, you know, people have said he could be like the Giannis in this draft. And, you know, I don't like to make comps like that, especially not to like all-time great players. But I do like to say that, like, you see the rawness in him, and you see where if he works on and refines his game, there's a hell of a player in Noah Essanay. Like, keep in mind, he played against the Portland Trailblazers, an NBA team, in preseason last year and put up 20, was very active in that game, getting in the passing lanes, things like that. That defensive instincts that he has is great. He could be, when it's all said and done, like a 6'10 Alex Caruso on the defensive side of the ball. I really do think he has that defensive upside. And, you know, we'll see if that ends up developing here. But, you know, when you have a position of need and you just pass up on it, it felt very much like Walker Kessler being on the board, and the Chicago Bulls taking Dalen Terry. Now, I hope that Noah is going to be a lot better of a player than Dalen Terry has shown so far. I mean, Dalen, last year was probably the first year he really looked like an NBA player consistently at times, but we're still trying to figure out now, what, 4 or 5 years in, who exactly is Dalen Terry. So, you know, I understand the frustration from Bulls fans. I definitely do. Don't want to say that. And I don't think it's about the prospect in general, right? It's about, again, seeing a position of need, seeing a position that is so big of need. You talked about it in your postseason pressure, getting size, getting those type of things, and you didn't go out and do that. And that's where some of this comes in at. But I think when you look at the vision that they have here, interchangeable forwards, that is kind of what the Bulls are looking at here with Noah Esenge. But then you get the comments from Mark Eversley after the fact, which I don't think make anything better, right? You have, you know, Mark talks about Noah and talks about, you know, the fact that they have a development plan for him. He just talked a lot rarely about wanting to get him acclimated to the city of Chicago. I guess I understand that to a degree. But I think if reading through what he said, the basis of it is this, is that they realize that Noah is going to be somebody that they have to invest heavily in. Now, he did mention that there is a development plan in place. And while I know a lot of Bulls fans are going to reactively say, well, what about Peter Patton? We have two coaches in Wes Unseld and Dan Craig who have been heads of player development themselves and have developed some really good players in the NBA. And so the hope is maybe that those guys paired with you still have your development department, which is more of an analytics department and watching kind of how the players play and giving them pointers on things that they can work on, going back to your coaching staff, having them kind of have a plan there to work with those players. And, you know, we'll see if they can get the best out of that. But once again, it's like this front office is still trying to live in two different worlds. Right. You tell us that, you know, you did ask for patience. And I do understand that to agree in asking for patience. But it's the inactivity. I said it last night is that last night is a culmination of the Bulls' indecisiveness in certain areas all coming back to bite them. Because had the Bulls been more aggressive and like moved Lonzo Ball at the trade deadline last year for that pick from Memphis at the 18th overall pick, had they done that, right, you would have been able to take your project player in Noah Esenge and still gotten you a player with an extremely high ceiling as well, right? You could have done both of them in some instances when it comes down to it. Ace Anua, for example, after the 18th pick, Ace Anua is still there. Danny Wolf's still there, right? Two guys that are kind of more, you kind of know more of what they are. They're still projects in their own places as well. So that's really what this is. I know Bulls fans are not going to be happy with this pick, and it's going to come down to Noah's going to have to prove it. And you do put your rookie now in a position where he has a lot that he's going to have to prove. And, you know, for Bulls fans are looking at this now, like once again, we're taking a player that's going to spend a lot of time in the G League. And unfortunately, that has not worked very heavily for the Bulls. Like Modest played one game in the G League and people almost lost their minds. Now he came back and he went back into the development plan that they had for him. And he eventually cracked that rotation. But for a team that so many of your draft picks have just been, like I said, not to say that they've all been terrible, but I mean, you haven't really hit on one outside of Modest Bousillas that really has given a lot of hope. Io's great. Love Io and what he's done here. Julian and Dalen are both still projects in their own right, right? And so, you know, you have those guys that you're looking at now and saying, all right, what are we doing here? So, you know, we'll see what the Bulls do. This felt like, once again, AK going to the same well that he's went to before. Taking these young project pieces and hoping that they're going to stick to the wall. And maybe one eventually does. And maybe that is Noah Esenge. Maybe he is the one that finally sticks and can shut up us all on just being a player that's ready. I mean, that gets ready to go. Now, for what it's worth, Noah feels like he's going to find his way on the court next season with his defense first. And much like Io DeSumo did with his defense, keep in mind, much like Noah, they expected Io to start in the G League, and his defense was so needed, and he ended up looking so good that he played double-digit minutes game one. So, you know, that's what you're looking at. If he's trying to come into the camp and prove, hey, I don't need to be in the G League, he's going to have to come in and hang his hat defensively. And I hope for one that he can do that, not just for Bulls fans to not have to worry about it, but also for Noah as a rookie to come in and say, hey, listen, y'all not finna stash me away. I'm here, and I'm going to make sure that my presence is felt. And if you're not going to play me, I'm going to make it a very difficult decision for you. But with that said, he's not going to play a lot. I don't expect any rookie to play a lot. If they would have drafted Derrick Queen, I don't think he would have played a lot at the start of his NBA season. Now, I do think that he would have worked his ass off, and eventually Billy would have been like, hey, we got to play this Queen kid. But, you know, that's just how Billy gets down. That's how the Chicago Bulls get down. And the thing, I think, overall, like I said, this a culmination of bad decisions. You saw teams last night with multiple first-round picks get aggressive to move up or take multiple players and have, like shout-out to Brooklyn for keeping all five of those first-round picks and taking all players that make some sense for the roster. Now, some is going to be more projects than others, but they took a number of players that you look at and you're like, nah, these are some good players here. So, you know, we'll see what happens for the Chicago Bulls. But Mark Eversley yesterday as well in his press conference talking about the fact that the Bulls are looking at either trading the second round pick away or doing a draft and stash player, which that's just with the number of players that have the high floors that are ready to contribute now in the second round. It just, hey, man, it really sucks to hear that they, before it even gets started, that they're considering those type of things. And here's the thing. When they say stuff like that, even before it starts, that's now what I'm betting on. Now, we'll get into how some players can fit that mold as far as a draft and stash kind of development. But, you know, overall, we'll see. Now, Mark Eversley did say that the Bulls were on the phone with three or four teams that picked before them to try to move up. That kind of leads me to believe that maybe Kaman Maluak or Cedric Cowell were the players that they were trying to trade up for. We also did hear before the draft that they were going to be making some calls to see if they can get Ace Bailey. Utah decided to go ahead and take him, even though he did not want to go there. And it is what it is there. But, you know, like I said, dude, let's not confuse activity with accomplishment. If they were on the phone with three or four teams, I am glad that they were being active. But you don't get the credit of being active without the accomplishment of actually achieving something. So, great you were on the phone, but, you know, we came into the draft here and you wanted to move up if possible. You wanted to move Lonzo. You wanted to move P. Will. You ain't getting none of it done. So what's the path here? Where are we going next with this? And that's something that the Bulls are going to have to prove in what they do now, because after tonight in the second round, depending on what the Bulls do, now it's like, okay, you're armed with a $17 million trade exception. You're $45 million, $46 million below the luxury tax. What are you about to do? And I guess we remain to be seen on that and what happens with this Bulls team. But listen, Bulls fans are frustrated right now, and I'm not going to be one to tell them they aren't frustrated, because again, it's a prove me league. So we can see the potential in Noah all day long, but if you're not the team that ends up developing that potential, we're going to have tons of questions in regards to that. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Chicago Bulls. But for what it's worth, if you go and look at some of these places that are grading draft picks, the Bulls were named by Bleacher Report as one of the winners of the draft for getting Noah Essengay. CBS Sports rated Noah Essengay pick at an A-, right? So you have some people that have really given this a good grade as far as the Bulls getting Noah, and I think that's because they're looking at it in the framework of draft. You're looking at potential. But the Bulls, as we've seen before, potential isn't always realized here. We got P. Will looking right there at us. But I do think that this draft pick of Noah does put P. Will on notice in the sense that, and Dalen, and Julian, that now you have another young guy that's younger than all you guys that is coming for that position to be the forward next to Matis Bouzelis, and now everybody's on notice on what do you bring. And P. Will, if no other wake-up call is the fact that if they keep drafting people at your position, that's a wake-up call for you, and we'll see if it does wake P. Will up. So let's see what happens here. But the Bulls do have a second-round pick today. They pick at number 45. There are a number of really good talent in this draft. So let's start off with what the Bulls said they wanted to do. Draft and stash. Let's look at some of the players that are draft and stash. And both the two that I have highest on my board are both players from Australia. Has nothing to do with Josh Giddey. But Alex Tui out of Australia, he's a forward there. I really like him, 6'8". You know, a player that he's really good. He's versatile when it comes down to playing multiple positions. A very smart basketball player, high IQ. He's basically an average athlete. So you're looking at the refinement of the game. He checks some boxes as far as a player that can have a high floor enough, but he could be somebody that goes back overseas, over to Australia for a little while, a year or two, while you draft and stash him. And then the next guy up is Rocco Zakarski, another Australian who could be gotten there at number 45. I think he would be considered a draft and stash player. He's 18, but at that, he's already 7'3", a 9'6 standing reach, ridiculous wingspan. And while, you know, in the draft process, I said that this is a guy that to me has no real NBA trait right now, but he would fit the mold of a draft and stash player. You can keep him over in Australia to develop for a year or two, bring him over here, and hope that he's going to be something at some time. His pure size is great, and he uses that length to definitely deter shots. Not necessarily a perfect shot blocker yet, but he does understand how to use his length to deter shots here and there. And so I think that that's something that could make him an intriguing prospect as far as draft and stash type players. Now, while not considered a draft and stash player, somebody else that I do think that you can draft and maybe have in the G League, not be overseas draft and stash, but Adu Thoreau as well. This is a 6'6 forward out of Arkansas, but you know, now with this draft in the forward, maybe we don't go that place, but this guy's a really explosive athlete when it comes down to it. He knows how to exploit mismatches as well. And I think that he's a guy that could need some kind of molding in the G League, but he's a guy that I think that could fit that mold a little bit. Noah Penda out of France could be another guy that you could look at as that. 6'7 as well, a guy that has a 6'11 and a half wingspan at being 6'7, kind of fits what AK likes to draft, but it's another forward. You know, he's going to have to become a little bit stronger when it comes down to it. Not necessarily an explosive.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Athlete, but when you get out in transition, he looks really good when it comes down to that. So Noah Penda is another player there. But then who are some of the other players that are best on the board, right? Let's take away the draft and stash label, and let's look at some of the players best there. Maxime Reynald should be one of the first players taken in the second round. You know, we talked about him and what he brings in legit size at 7 foot, already a really good athlete when it comes down to it, engaged on the defensive side of the ball, but not necessarily a really great, defender there. But he can space the floor. He knows how to hold his own when it comes down to that. I like Maxime Reynald. Of course, Ryan Kalkbrenner is another guy that fits kind of that same center mold at 7'1". Could be the big that the Bulls look out and get there. He's really good at the rim. He can hit some three-pointers occasionally as well. 7'6 wingspan is really good, even though he hasn't quite learned to use it the best way yet. But is a player that I do see there. Really efficient basketball player as well. Ryan Kalkbrenner, I like a lot here as well. And then Rashear Fleming. I think Rashear Fleming, I'm really shocked he went down to the second round. 6'8", the 7'5 wingspan, 232 pounds, but make no mistake about it. His defense and shooting is something that, listen, Boston, who I think picks at the second pick in the second round, considering what they have given up, I could completely see them taking him early in the second round of this draft, but he's one of the best players left in the second round, in my personal opinion. And then, of course, Johnny Broom. Tough motherfucker, Johnny Broom. Like when you look at just the production that he's been able to have, 6'9", a little bit older of a player, which pushes him down, but physically dominant, right? Gets after rebounds, get after block shots. He's just a tough guy. Doesn't have great length, doesn't have great explosiveness, but sometimes you just look at a guy that just is a good damn basketball player. That's Johnny Broom when it all comes down to that as well. Sion James, another forward there, is definitely would be a good pick there for the Bulls as well. Maybe somebody you do have in the G League for a little while, but you know, we'll see what the Bulls end up doing. And if they end up drafting any of these guys, Hunter Salas, another guy out of Wake Forest I was very high on, he could end up being an undrafted free agent that I think the Bulls could sign as well. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But let me know your guys' thoughts. Who are some of the best players you see in the second round that you would like to see the Chicago Bulls draft? But with that being draft night last night, I got to go to the mailbag early. Mailbag day is not till Saturday. We got 3 voicemails about the draft specifically. Let's go ahead and play those now. This first one, this one's from Korn.
Man, what the fuck is going on, bro? What the fuck, bro? What the fuck, bro? What the fuck, man? I'm speechless. They didn't bring this motherfucker even in for a workout. He just spoke to them video conference. I don't know who this motherfucking kid is. Congratulations to you. I didn't want your ass, bro. This team, this front office is the most incompetent, dumb motherfuckers I have. What you would be surprised? These are the motherfuckers that passed up on Tyrese Halliburton. This is like T-Will all over. This motherfucker left more lazy and sleeping with T-Will. Can't believe they fucked this up. And listen to Mark Eversley for the first time. Shut the fuck up. I will never hear from you again, motherfucker. Ever again. That shit sounded. I was sitting up there looking at Pat. Damn near in tears. Listening to what the fuck this fucking idiot is trying to. Trying to make a point of your fucking. Oh, God. No, no. No, they did not fuck this one up, bro. They did not just fuck this one up. They take this fucking draft in the next 10 years and y'all fuck this one up. Come on, bro. You can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up. I am sorry, C-Red Nation. I'm so sorry for us. We are stuck for the next 5 to 10 years with some dumb and incompetent motherfuckers that a 5-year-old can do their fucking job at this goddamn point. I'd rather have my daughter be their fucking GM. Oh my, like, bro, I gotta go because I gotta go to work. I'm like on crash out mode because of these drip. I don't know, bro. I don't know, bro. This.
I kept telling people that just because the Bulls did not bring in a player for a workout did not mean that they weren't going to draft them. That's how the Bulls have gotten down. They've not been afraid or shied away from drafting players that they have not worked out. And that's Noah Essengay. So I think that that's a part when it comes down to, but I got to correct you. There's nothing about Noah's game that's P-Will. He's not P-Will. He's not lazy like P-Will. He's not as passive as P-Will. He actually welcomes contact a little bit more, being at only 204 pounds. So I can't say that he is P-Will at all. Now, I know that the rawness of his game and things is going to lead people to make that comparison. But with P-Will, again, it's not the skill set that was the problem. It was the mentality. And I don't think Noah has the lack of mentality like P-Will does, in my personal opinion. So that's something I think you got to look at as well with this. But I understand you being upset. I understand a lot of Bulls fans being upset by this pick. Like I said, they're just going to have to go out and prove it, develop him, and see what he can turn into. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? I just saw the pick, and this is the most dumbest, stupidest pick that we've made since Dalen Terry. You had a skilled center and a defensive center that you desperately need, and you didn't take neither one of them. You took another project player, which, mind you, we already have 3 project players. And if you count Modest, we have 4. Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, and Julian Phillips. Dude, guys like Josh Giddey and Kobe White, they need players that could help them win now. Not necessarily win a championship, but win now. We got other holes we got to fill on this team. Not to mention we already have project players who the jury's still out on them, and you still elected to go with another project player when there are actually better picks for you in this draft. Man, this is so irritating because you know for a fact he's not going to get much player time. You don't know for a fact if he... And then, two, what the hell was the point of firing Peter Patton if you're going to get another project player? You might as well have kept him. None against what's on sale, but if he ain't got no offensive game, man, this is going to be bad. Look, this is so irritating. As long as we got AK at the helm, we ain't doing nothing anytime soon. Even if we go to a full rebuild, do you really even trust AK to even rebuild? I'm through with it. If he turns out to be a good player, I'm willing to admit my wrong because I've admitted my wrong with Kobe White. But this is some dumb shit right here. Especially when it was right there for you. Right there. God literally told him, it's right there. I'm showing you the way. No, but I want to go the other way. Jesus, this is so irritating. Anyway, tell me what you think if you decide to play this. This is frustrating.
I don't think that it's the stupidest draft pick that the Bulls could have made. I think going guard, like if they would have went Yegor Dimon, or if they would have went Kasperis Jokiciūnas, that could have been a lot more stupid than drafting Noah Esenge. That's just my personal opinion. I think what you said at the end there, or towards the middle, is what they're saying. The Bulls know that this isn't a title contending team now. They are still trying to take bites at the apple, guys that they feel can turn into stars. Like I said, for what it's worth, the Bulls, by the media, are being graded pretty damn well for this draft selection. And like I said, he's gotten comparisons like he could be the Giannis Antetokounmpo of this draft. And I hope that that's right. I hope that that finally works out for the Chicago Bulls and we end up getting a guy like that. If that's the case, great. But they're going to have to go out and prove it. We're going to have to go out and see it because the fan base right now is looking at this and questioning what the hell we have going on. So we'll see what the Bulls have and what they do in here. And let's hope that it can be better, Shay. That's all I can say there. All right, let's get into this last one, man. This one's from Big Rob.
Hey, it's Big Rob from the West Side of Chicago. Many blessings to you and to your family. I'll say this about our draft pick. Now, I've heard the stories about him quitting. I'm not sure how much is true or how much is accurate, but a lot of people are saying overseas that he did quit at championship games. The only issue I just have is I don't know if that's just backstory or just someone just trying to lower his draft. And the only thing I can just say is I am seeing all the radio stations and they're just ripping the Bulls pick and they're just ripping him in general. And the only thing I can just feel personally is that if I am the organization, you better hope he swings and you got a home run. Because if Queen or Sober or anyone else you that went after him excel and then he doesn't, it's going to be a long couple years because you're trying to get it right. I get it. I know you want to do the right things and say, hey, you know, we didn't get it right with Patrick Williams, or we're not sure about Julian Phillips. You know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you know there was a dire need, I just hope that I want to be wrong. And I hope that he turns out and excels. But I just got a feeling that any mistake he does, he's going to get ridiculed a lot. So if I'm wrong in that, you know, if I'm wrong in that feeling, you know, I'll be the first to apologize. I just want to be wrong that he is going to excel, but at the end of the day, we had needs, and I just am disappointed, but I'm going to hold my judgment until then. Let me know what you think. God bless. Peace.
Okay, he did not quit on the team, and I think that that's something that he said after theirs. It was that his coach said, no, go live your dream, and they recognized the fact of him going to live his dream of getting drafted by the NBA. And I, for one, do commend not only his coach and his team and his national team for doing that, but also him for wanting to come over here, show face, be in Chicago. I'm pretty sure probably be in Chicago within the next couple of days. I actually commend that personally. That's just my personal opinion and the way that I look at it. So he came back over from Germany, and it is what it is. But to your point, like Noah better hit, and that's what it has to do. I said it before. The Bulls do not have the luxury with these next couple of first-round picks of getting cute. And it feels like they did that with this one, but maybe the kid is actually going to end up being something. And if he does, great. But I know Bulls fans are already going to react. They are going to react. When Derek Queen, because I do think Derek Queen is going to look better right away. Thomas Sorb is going to be on the Thunder. That's going to be crazy. And Bulls fans are going to look at this when Noah plays 42 games his rookie year and averages 9.6 minutes. People are going to look at it and be like, what the hell are we doing, Bulls? But, you know, he said be patient. And, you know, I understand that this is a project pick, not the pick that I would have made, but I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on it, and we'll see what the Bulls get out of it. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.